Good morning and welcome to WJBM Studio at our local spotlight. We are spotlighting Liz Dugan this morning. What a doll, Liz Dugan. I love Liz Dugan. And well, Liz, tell us about Liz Dugan. What about Liz Dugan? Where'd she start?
Okay, well, I'll do like some brief points of career path. So I went to college at University of Illinois, Springfield. By the way, of course, graduated from Jersey Community High School. Okay. Great school.
Yes.
And then went to college at University of Illinois in Springfield, played tennis there. My senior year, I had to make the decision if I was going to play tennis or go take an internship in Nashville. Ultimately decided I needed to start my career, so I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and started doing an internship with CMT, Country Music Television.
I know where that building's at.
Do you?
Oh, yes.
It was from a girl that, you know, was raised in Fieldon, 300 people. It was a very intimidating building to walk up to for my first day. I was terrified.
Yes, that's a heck of a building.
It is. And so, yeah, I did an internship there in the special events department. It was incredible. My first event I ever did, like 5 days in, I'm sitting in front of John Mayer and Keith Urban.
Oh,
and
my.
Just in a room of like 20 people, I'm like, how am I here?
Great.
Yeah.
So what was your job?
So I was a special events intern, so I would help manage tickets, facilitating just any aspect of the event. If the green room needed food or needed a bartender, like I would make sure all of those things were happening. A lot of ticketing, I would say, and like seating.
Green room,
it's like the backstage room where artists...
Sometimes people don't know all the terms.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I knew what the green room was, but I'm asking the question.
I figured you would. So yeah, and then managing the audience was a big part of it because these were recorded, you know, they were going to air on CMT, so we were managing the audience and we would hire people even to have models, per se, come out and be in like front rows, so I would manage some of that as well.
And how big would the audience be?
Most of those recordings are pretty small, so Crossroads, where you take somebody like Keith Urban and John Mayer and they play each other's songs, those are pretty intimate. I honestly don't even...
50, 100?
Yeah, I'm thinking like 50 to 100. And then we did some bigger ones with Kenny Chesney and Steve, you know his name. Oh, gosh.
I don't know.
Steve Miller Band.
Oh,
that's
Steve
it.
Miller
yeah,
Band.
How dare me. I know.
Yes.
We did that at the Grand Ole Opry, so yeah.
So did you get to know these performers?
No, not then. I was in the room. I was an intern. I was very much so a quiet little intern, and so I just did my job and I always tried to not look like a fan because I wanted to be seen as a professional.
I see.
And as like, I was a huge country music fan at the time, so that was really hard to not act like a fan. But I knew that if I wanted a career in this, I couldn't act like a fan.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So then what?
So after I finished my internship, they hired me on for some freelance, but I'm 22 at the time, no clue how to manage my money. And decided freelance was just so hard to keep getting gigs. So I moved back home, had to swallow my pride and moved back home, started bartending,
which is
in Fieldon, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, moved back. Thank you, John and Tammy, for letting me move back in. And started bartending and then got a job with the St. Louis Rams in sales.
St. Louis Rams,
yeah,
all right.
Remember them?
What year was that?
That would have been 2010, I want to say. 2011, actually. Yeah,
2011.
So I think Coach Spagnuolo was still there. And then we had Jeff Fisher the second year. So the second year, we actually started winning some games.
Oh,
so that
made
it a little easier to sell tickets. So then I did 2 seasons with them. And then after that job, I worked at Cabela's corporate office for 7.5 years. And at about... I want to say like the 5.5 year point, Bass Pro bought Cabela's, so we merged
with them. And that has to be the biggest hunting sports store in, in the country, right?
Oh, yeah. Between that, those two, it's yeah, it's the biggest. And Bass Pro now owns that and Academy. So
you don't mess around. You just go straight to the top.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you're doing, you're going to the top.
Yeah. Well, I've always said if you have to work for a living, you might as well find a job that has good perks. So I've always tried to find careers that I can have a little fun, too, while you're working.
Makes sense.
I mean, like the Rams that. Getting to stand on the field during games, that's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Not that they needed me down there, because I was still learning about football as I worked there. But, yeah, Cabela's was all of my favorite things. So the outdoors, and then for them, I managed their country music sponsorships. So that was like a dream. My dream, so when I started that internship in Nashville, I wanted to tour. That's all I wanted to do. And so I was always trying to, even as a very shy person, I was still trying to like make connections and build a network. And I just never met people that toured really. So
that's what, you're a very shy person,
mm-hmm.
but you don't seem very shy right now.
So I would say the job at the Rams really, I had to come out of my shell or I wasn't going to make it. So that was actually a seasonal sales job, and only a certain amount of people made it through to where you would get hired on. And so I had to make myself make these cold calls. They would call them lukewarm calls, but they were cold calls. It's just somebody that was really shy. So that really broke me out of my shell, because you cannot be in sales and not walk up to people and say hello and like be assertive in that mm-hmm. way. And even over the phone, you have to lead that conversation. And so it broke me out. But yeah, I don't consider myself a shy person anymore.
Yes, I don't think you are.
But yeah, so I worked for Cabela's for 7.5 years, and they sponsored 2 country artists, and then they also sponsored an award show. So my job was going out on the road on those tours and making sure their brand activations, which is essentially a marketing booth, making sure that was set up. The local store came out and worked. I hosted out our top credit card holders. So I got to know my network is, I love those people to this day. I still talk to some of those credit card holders because I would see them each year in their city and host them out, and they'd get to meet the artist. And that was my dream job though. I wanted to ride around on a tour bus and see the country, and it happened.
Yeah, and so then what?
So after Cabela's and Bass Pro merged, there was obviously some like major layoffs that took place during that. I somehow made it through. I feel like they just forgot about me, but I made it through. But then the pandemic happened, and
it was a spoiler for a lot.
So working in events, there were no events happening. Were kind because they kept me until July. So from March to July, I was making up work to do. I was like, I'll clean up this spreadsheet today. I will call this person and, you know, reconnect with them. But they kept me till July. And then 2 days after I got that phone call that my career of 7.5 years was suddenly over, I got a phone call to teach the CEO program and asking if I would be interested.
And that's why you're here.
Yeah.
Because you are the CEO teacher at Jerseyville High School.
Yep. And we actually don't ever meet at the high school, which is the interesting part of the program. It's a privately funded program, so it's not actually funded by the district per se. The district, Brad Tuttle and Chris Simon, they were big parts of bringing this program to Jerseyville. And then the local businesses now fund the program. So, yeah.
So, who are some of the businesses that Okay.
A lot of the banks. I'll just say pretty much every bank in town. So if you bank at a bank in town, they fund the program. They help fund it.
Or even in Hardin or Campsville.
Yes. Yep. They are a big part of it. So the banks, and, you know, we have so many good businesses, too, that are friends of the program that help us out with, like, Sinclair's, for instance. Like, if we need to, if they come up with a business that, like, it has to do with food, Sinclair's,
They always have been.
Yeah.
They're so great.
But this is a privately funded program, so we meet at all of the local businesses. So we don't ever meet at the high school. We always meet in a boardroom at a business.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, so tell me about the program. What's the objectives of the program?
So there's a few pillars of the program. Day one, when they come in, we are trying to create a wow factor with them. We want people to meet them, and when they leave, we want them to be like, wow, that kid was so impressive. Because I spoke to the program in January of 2020. I was a speaker. Greg Cooper was the first facilitator.
Yes.
And I was blown away by these students, because if you've ever spoken at a school, a lot of times you're going to get blank stares. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get any questions, and you're just ultimately going to wonder if your time mattered. Like, should you have taken off work that morning to even speak to these kids? That morning that I spoke to that CEO class, I was blown away. And I remember I wanted Greg Cooper's job after that day. Oh. It was like, I want his job, but they just developed this program and he's so great at it. There's no way that, and then, you know, that summer he ended up getting a full-time job at the high school and the job was open and I snatched it up.
So how long has the CEO program been going on at Jerseyville?
We are in our fifth year.
Has any other schools been doing this program?
Yes. So the program started in Effingham, Illinois, and I want to say that they're in like their 15th year. They've been doing it for a long time. The guy that developed it, name was Craig Linval, mm-hmm. and he developed this program because he saw a need. He was a teacher. So he saw that, kids were learning math and science and all those things in school, but they weren't actually learning how to operate as an adult once they get out of school, and how to do taxes and how to do insurance, and also giving them another path. Like, if you have ideas and you want to start something of your own, you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now you're the CEO of this year's class. So tell us about this year's class.
This year's class, we have 12 students, which is the most we've ever had. Okay. So it's very exciting. And like I said, we started 5 years ago. So that first year was 2019-2020. So as everyone can imagine, it was a tough year for Mr. Cooper because he had to figure out, how do I teach this program in a pandemic?
Right.
And we've had to figure that out. Honestly, this is the first year. Last year, I think, was the first year we were kind of in the clear, but it's been a challenge with the pandemic and having started our program during that time. So we've had 5 or 6 students every year, and this year we have 12, and we're so excited about that.
So you have 12 students. You meet in the morning.
Yes.
I think, what's going on the first semester of their
year? So I'm glad you brought that up, that they do have to get up early. It's an early bird class. We start 7:30 a.m. They have to dress up every day. And that's
very nice.
Another unique part of the program. So first semester, we're creating that wow in them. And then we give them $5, and they have 2 weeks to turn that $5 into $100.
Just out of thin air.
Yep. We kind of remind them, you know, of those things, that raking leaves, mowing yards, services, but then also, what kind of skills might you have that you can make money off of? I mean, one student this year, Chloe Hall, made these cream cheese mints. A lot of women will know them from bridal showers and wedding showers. They're delicious. She made a ton of money off of that. And that was like something her family knew how to do. So it's always interesting when these kids reach back and try and figure out, okay, what skills do I have? What can I do? And then they realize, I can make money doing this.
What are some of the first semester?
So that money goes to their class business. So what they raise in that 5 to 100 project goes towards their startup capital for their class business that they have to create first semester. So that's where we're at right now. They're creating their class business, which, by the way, is a book on the history of Jersey County.
Mm-hmm.
And those will be on sale during the downtown Christmas festival at the Craft Bazaar. So they're very excited to get that launched. So that the money they raise from their 5 to 100 is paying for anything they need to create that business. Now, with the class business profits, next semester they have to create an individual business.
So they split the booty up and they get that money to use for their own individual project.
So the pressure's on with 12 of them because they need to raise a good amount of money in this class business to be able to fund all 12 of their individual businesses. But I think they can do it.
And so they have different roles in the class as far as...
Yep. So they each vote on a role in the class business. So we have a CEO, we have a COO, CFO, CMO. And then depending on what their class business is, we come up with all the other roles, and they have an organizational chart, and it shows, you know, who each person rolls up to. And they really learn like what it's like to be in the real world in this class business.
Yes. Now, earlier when we talked CEO, what does that stand for the class?
Creating entrepreneurial opportunities.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
I've had to really work on learning to say that entrepreneurial word. It comes up a lot, but yeah, it's a great program. And so second semester when they create their individual businesses, we then put on a trade show for them and they get to design their booth however they'd like, and they are completely in charge of making sure they have enough product for that event. And if they're offering a service, they need to make sure they've laid out time in their schedule after that event to provide those services. So the trade show is kind of the crowning moment for mm-hmm. these students to really just achieve their goals. And then at the end, I love it because they are always so shocked by how much Jersey County supports them. It's amazing.
Will that happen in April or May?
Yes, April.
In April. Okay. And, yep. And you'll have it. Do you know the location yet?
We've changed locations every year just because, also because of the pandemic, we've had some restrictions in the past, but we did it out at Farm and Home last year, and it was really well attended. So with 12 of them, we might have to look at a larger place, but it's always fun to see them set up their booths and have their big moment.
Yeah, sounds great. I mean, it's, how many schools in Illinois have this CEO program going on?
I don't know the exact number in Illinois, but Illinois has the most number of the programs, but they're also all over the country. So there's a couple in Minnesota. There's one in Utah.
Really?
They have Kentucky, Ohio. So they're Indiana. They're starting to spread all over, because when you hear about this program, I think most anyone can say yes, young adults need this.
Well, and didn't you say, well, you were talking about Effingham. Mm-hmm. They've been doing it for 15 years. And what are the fruits of the labor of the CEO program in Effingham?
So that is, they have some really neat stories out there. And they have, I haven't checked on this, but the last time I did, they had 13 brick and mortar businesses from past CEO students that are now in Effingham. And that is amazing. The day we have one CEO student come back and actually make their business like their career, I will be elated.
Yes. How many have we had so far in the program? Maybe 50?
Let's see. Probably we're at 40 something, I would say. 40 something. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Now they go to, when they go to the class, and then they wear the same clothes, change clothes, and go to the high school?
They do go to some of them change, some of them just stay in the same clothes.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. But so the ones that stay in their CEO clothes, they get asked all day, why are you dressed like that? Why are you dressed? Because they look different. And that's what we want. We want CEO students to look different, to act different, because they should be setting themselves apart from their peers and, you know, being young professionals.
What are some of the businesses the students have did that are stands out that you think, oh, man, that was so cool if they did that
and
successful?
Alex Kaufman, in my first year of teaching, he came up with Dick Mossman's rub, so a seasoning. His grandpa was Dick Mossman.
Yes, very well known.
Yep, a lot of people loved him and loved his cooking out at the Moose, and mm-hmm. so he knew the seasoning recipe, got written permission from a lot of his family members that he could start this business, and his goal was to help pay for his college. And I checked in with him recently, and he said it has done that. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, that's very successful.
Yes,
there.
It sold at Sully's, I know, is one of their most popular
locations. Oh, so he's still selling that?
Locations, yeah.
Oh.
So you can drive through and get it.
Oh, I'll have to do that.
Yeah.
I'll have to try some of that.
Yeah, so that one is, we're very proud of that one for sure. And he's such an impressive young adult, too.
Yes, I've spoke with him before.
Nice.
He's a good...
Yeah, I think he's playing
man.
Baseball out at Blackburn right now, so he'll be finishing that here soon. I'm excited to see what he does next.
Now, this year you're doing a book. Last year, what did you do as a project?
So the class business last year was candles. Okay. So they always try to capitalize on kind of the season that they're in, and typically the class business is going to be around Christmas and the holidays. So candles seem to be a really good gift to always have on hand. In that season.
I think this history book will be a good one, too. It'll be a good
gift. I do, too. I think it's not even set on seasonality, because you know, somebody could want to buy a book at any time in the year. So, but it is, it will make a great Christmas gift, that's for sure.
Well, Liz, thanks so much for coming on the local Spotlight show this morning, and we will see you around.
See ya. Thank you so much.
All right.